Unai Emery has come out to address our defending set pieces, and he said it's very important to try to control set pieces in games offensively and defensively. We have to try to be stronger in our structure.
I know!
Tim Sherwood here, you're listening to the Villa Podcast.
So I left while you were sleeping. That's all it took.
And Arsenal, City, Liverpool, West Ham. Five English teams played in Europe this week, Liam, but only one of those teams managed to win. Arsenal draw, City draw, Liverpool beaten, West Ham beaten, obviously, and Aston Villa. Five English teams played in Europe, but only one of those teams had Unai Emery managing them in his 1,000th game. And how fitting that he oversees another European victory in this illustrious career. Look, people are frustrated at conceding late. I get it. At taking a narrow advantage to what's going to be a really tough away ground. People are worried about our general form, but I'm going to enjoy this. Mostly because I listened back to the last podcast and I've never been more monotone in my whole life. It's like, oh my God, this sounds like a man at breaking point. But I'm intent to just enjoy when we win. Came into this season thinking, this is brilliant, we're in European football, and this is a European Cup quarter-final win. And when you look at what's going on this week, specifically with the other English teams, you take it when you can.
Yeah, you're at breaking point, you say, but let's see if I can just actually break you, because as much as you're enjoying your schadenfreude there, there was me sitting last night looking at the Qatar and the Barca starting lineups, thinking, how has it come to this? Like, Qatar with all the money in the world and Barcelona with all the money and Josep Maria Bartomeu's imagination, and those were the fucking lineups they were putting out. Like, two or three really strategic signings, and this Aston Villa squad with, you know, for the first time ever, 40 games a season under their belts, and we could bloody win the Champions League. Get me into that competition. But despite how much you were enjoying the other teams not winning, you're a fucking idiot. And I look at the results tonight, fucking David Moyes running around trying to win games of football without touching the football. And then David Moyes reject Gianluca Scamacca tearing Liverpool apart. Like, Jurgen Klopp is going out of his way to piss me off this week. Like, you've never met me, Jurgen. What are you so determined to ruin my life for? And then, of course, there's us fucking keeping me on tenterhooks. Couldn't just see out a 2-0 win and all but guarantee the qualification bonus point for the coefficient. And two more games, they pick up two extra or a few extra points as well. I don't know why you're happy about only us winning, Conan. This means we're not going to qualify for the Champions League.
Liam, I'm not happy. I don't know if that wasn't clear from the last podcast. I am not a happy being right now. But I'm trying to just see the positive here. And like, and I'm actually serious, right? This isn't me trying to find any way to spin this, right? You say 2-0 would have all but guaranteed it. Grow up. As if we wouldn't throw away a 2-0 lead, as if we wouldn't have gone there and not try to do anything. Like, that would have been a fucking disaster. I actually see that goal as a positive, where now we have to go there and reset and just try and win the match again. If we had went there with a 2-0 lead, I would have had to be worked with afterwards. I mean, that would have been disaster stuff. Look, I mean, Coefficient FC is up in smoke. It's not great. It's not a team that I want to join anymore. This was the silver lining from the Brentford match. It's like, well, at least Man United are shit. You kept saying that to me. You kept pointing out, forget about United. It's going to be fine. We're going to get fifth. Everybody kept putting up these weird graphics that I couldn't really work out. But I just looked at the number at the end of it. 77% chance of the English team getting the next Champions League spot. I don't even know why this is up for debate. What? Why on earth? I'm not even an Englishman, but this is a joke to English football. Like, what is going on? Why on earth are they not by far and away clear of everybody, of any doubt that England should have that extra Champions League spot? What is going on there?
Well, the fact that Italy don't have any teams left in the competition and they've guaranteed their place in the Champions League or five teams in the Champions League next year tells you everything about how much thought was put behind this coefficient. Yeah. And just to be clear, Colin, I wasn't telling you for the last while to forget about United. I've been saying that since they finished third last year. Last year, Man United were playing like a team that should be finishing seventh. This year, they're playing like a team that should be finishing 11th. They're shite.
Right, let's go through the goals here because we did get a win and it was a good win and it comes from two corners. It comes from three corners, let's be real, but we'll come to it. We'll break it up. We'll talk about the Villa goals first. But it was a lovely whipping John McGinn ball in and it's just Ollie Watkins running around to the back post, unmarked, heads it into the ground and away you go. And he does a little, he taps himself and does the point to the ground. Do we look into that? Do we say this boy's not going anywhere? Does he say Champions League football is coming here? Him pointing at himself, is he saying world-class football is coming here? I don't know, but I like the celebration.
Maybe he's saying he's got to keep his feet in the ground, Connor. Maybe that's all it is. It's such a simple goal, and it's exactly the type of goal you see week in, week out at Villa Park by the opposition, ordinarily. And then afterwards, you can see fucking Paulo Fonseca talking to the fourth official and one of the players talking to the ref and pointing to their eyes. I can only assume they were saying I could see that coming. And they would be fucking right as well. Like, we had been building up a bit of pressure and Ollie Watkins and Ezri Konsa were completely free in a mirror image corner only seconds beforehand as well. I mean, that must be what they were complaining about. Like, I know a consummate professional like Paulo Fonseca isn't complaining about Morgan Rogers holding his marker up at the hips and that forcing him down to the ground. That couldn't possibly be what it was. I know he must be complaining about the fact that his entire team decided to leave the best player in the fucking competition in 10 yards of space, 6 yards out. That has to be it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You have helped me jump forward to the Tim Sherwood. We played two number 10s and bamboozled them award. They have listened to my advice. Ezri Konsa at the back post. Ezri Konsa at the back post. Remember we said he's not going to score the goal. Just float it into the back post and let him tee up somebody. And he didn't even need to use his head. He brings it down with his right foot and sets it up for Watkins for a half volley. Who should really score, to be honest. But we tried two Ezri Konsa to the back post. One of them worked brilliantly when we got it onto his foot. The other one, he ended up heading somebody else. He probably could have scored, but he didn't get as good a connection on the ball as he did with the back of a defender's head, and he was down injured for a little bit.
Yeah, we were asking last week, what is the point of Ezri Konsa coming up for a corner? Well, this is the fucking point. What a touch. What a pass. Like, in any part of the pitch, that's an incredible pass. The fact that it's dropping out of the sky past eight bodies, and he's just cushioned it in the centre forward's left foot for a spank on goal. Absolutely ridiculous piece of skill.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. I mean, I had sort of been advocating for the Tony Pulis use of Ezri Konsa, making the Julian Lescott put him on the far byline, swinging it the whole way around, let him head it back. But this is much much better. And this is probably
the last time you ever compare or even speak about them in the same sentence, Cesare Conza and Julian Lescott.
This is probably the sort of ingenuity with which Austin McPhee is able to conjure up this next one. This time he goes short. It's another corner. It's Douglas Luiz plays it to Leon Bailey. And Leon Bailey on the left side now will also just go over his right foot. I mean, what do you even do about this boy? I mean, you can't out of all logic and principle let him go on to his left, especially when he's on the left. But he can't leave his right free either. It's an impossible question. And even though he slips, he tees up John McGinn brilliantly with a lovely fizz past the edge of the box. And everybody has to, all the defenders have to hold their line because it looks like he's about to whip one in on top of them with that right foot as well. And instead he tees up John McGinn and he slides it in. It took a deflection, let's be honest. I didn't hear a lot of commentators mention that. It looks delicious to start off with, but I think it got a nice deflection off the back of someone's hamstring. But I liked that he didn't try to lace it because he knew that the work was done for him by Leon Bailey.
It's hard to decide what was better here, the disguise on Bailey's pass or the deflection that John McGinn gets. I mean, the disguise on Bailey's pass, like when he drops to his arse. Like we've all heard of no look passes, but no leg passes are completely innovative. And maybe this is the call, actually. You know when a lad stands at the corner flag with his arm in the air or both arms in the air? Maybe dropping to your arse is how we call the play, that the ball is going to John McGinn. It's a bit fucking heavy-handed, a bit obvious if you ask me, but it worked a fucking treat there. And that's brilliant. And obviously McPhee needs to take credit for that. But I think the next bit is just on-field improvisation. McGinn deciding to bend it in off the defender's calf. Absolutely gorgeous. Fair play to him. That shot was going about fucking 6 yards wide until he decided to do that.
The McPhee propaganda is getting a bit out of hand now, though. You did raise a brilliant point before. Like, you don't think people would talk about him as much if his hair wasn't like it is. And it's not hating on his hair. It's just obviously distinguishable. It's a feature that sticks out in your mind very clearly. And when he's a set piece coach as well, it's going to help this enigma that's wrapping around him. And he's getting all the credit without seemingly getting any bit of criticism along the way, because nobody's going to drill deep into a set piece coach, really. It's going to be the manager who lives and dies by all the decisions his coaches make, really. Apart from when it's stuff to be praised, it's all Austin McPhee getting that. It's Austin McPhee's work. But once again, another corner comes into the box, and it's another goal. I mean, I have to say, I probably would have taken this. They got three corners in this match. They probably could have scored two more. They scored one. I would have taken that. We had a warning about 9 minutes beforehand, and Martinez was going mad. It was at the other side. Lucadeen was beating at the near post, and Martinez has to scoop it off the line because he's left the near post free because he's trying to set himself for a cross into the box, and he's sort of unhappy to even give them that chance because they weren't really threatening much. And this one, have you seen an easier corner scored in your life? Like, the Watkins one definitely is up there. it's not a good day for defending corners, but this one is worse. Like, this is just somebody runs in to the 6 yard box at the near post, and nobody's even challenging him. Runs in, and it's not like he's lost his man, like you have to assume Watkins did. Like, Carlos. It's Conza that people are looking at this man coming in, heading the ball into an empty net. It's really strange. The whole thing was done and executed like there was just an empty box. Somebody was practicing whipping in corners into the box.
Yeah, I thought the biggest car crash we were going to see today would be from John Duran, but there's always time for a corner into the ass of the box, isn't there? The Ollie Watkins one is also, yeah, it's a fairly easy, fairly rudimentary goal that you shouldn't be conceding. But at least the ball had to travel all the way across the box. And this one is just drilled into the near post. And there isn't a fucking hint of an Aston Villa player beside him. I mean, Diego Carlos ends up leaning to pretend that he's going to get towards the ball. But his legs are about 4 yards away from the guy who actually heads the ball. And absolutely ridiculous. So disappointing as well. Like, how much more can Emiliano Martinez have done for a clean sheet tonight?
Yeah.
And there he was getting nominated for the John Gregory. If I had a gun, I would have shot him, quote of the week, by saying, you know, qualifying for the Champions League with Aston Villa would mean more to me. And I was thinking, oh, that's a relief. Like, even if we don't hit our objective this year or next year, the world's best goalkeeper might stick around for the thrill of the hunt. And he might. But this nonsense might fucking force him out as well. Like, how regularly is he being let down by his teammates and his fucking coaching staff? It's insane.
Yeah. Look, I don't even know what to say anymore. We've skinned this cat every single way possible. We've talked about it over and over and over. It's happened over and over and over. I thought questioning the player's pride would be the way to go. I was asking, like, are they not embarrassed by this? Where is their shame? Where's their self-respect? Whatever you're doing on the training pitch, whatever McPhee's telling you, go up and head the ball at the very least. And that didn't seem to work. That didn't seem to work either. And this is now, like, this isn't just an Aston Villa problem anymore. Like, this is for the coefficient. We are all in this. This is now a national scandal. Villa's set pieces, Villa's defending set pieces ability is letting the country down now. Like, this, we're slagging David Moyes for his one shot against Bayer Leverkusen's 33. But this is just as bad. This is as bad as what David Moyes served up tonight.
Yeah, at least with us, so it's only affecting us, because like I said, Man United aren't going to finish fifth, but it's just, let's get the job done. I mean, this is happening too often now, where we're just fading out of games or taking our eye off the ball, dropping the tempo. It's not great, it's not a good sign. Maybe it's just as a consequence of the fact that last year we had two players who made 40 appearances, and one of them was Buendia, and about 50 or about 20 of those were substitute appearances. The players just aren't used to it. Maybe they've just fucking run themselves into the ground.
Only other talking point really from the match itself was the penalty. Benjamin Andre got away with one there. Ollie Watkins is just about to pull the trigger. Someone just hurls himself into his back, bundles him over, carries the ball out.
Yeah, call me old-fashioned, but I think if you take somebody out miles from the ball in the penalty area, it's a penalty. It was a very peculiar performance from the referee all game, if I'm being honest. Yeah. And I don't think that's the first time that this has happened in Europe's third-tier competition. We've ended up with a third-tier referee. Such a strange call. Like, it couldn't have been a clearer penalty. Ollie Watkins has got control of the ball, and Andre's doesn't even have control of his own faculties. He just runs straight into the side of him, takes his leg out, that leg bashes into his other leg, and he falls to the ground. Clear as day, a penalty. Worst thing about this as well, he books Youri Tielemans for a very, very similar foul. I know he said it was Youri Tielemans' fourth or fifth foul, and he's definitely right about that. Tielemans was begging to be begging to be booked. But so Andre was fucking begging to give away a penalty. He went barreling into Ollie Watkins.
And at the time of recording, Liam Unai Emery has come out to address our defending set pieces, and he said it's very important to try to control set pieces in games offensively and defensively. We have to try to be stronger in our structure.
I know! You're a fucking manager. Do something about it. That's why we're saying it. We all know this. Hopefully this isn't the first time you realise this, Unai.
Well, at least it's being talked about. At least he's being asked about it.
Is it being talked about with the players? I don't care if he's saying it to journalists. Is he saying it in Bodymore?
Let's take a quick breather and we'll come back after this.
I've been letting you down, down.
You think Harry Maguire is a bigger loss than Harry Kane?
Yeah, I do. You lose Harry Maguire, that's a big problem for Gareth Southgate.
His biggest problem?
Yeah. I think it's his biggest problem. The situation got out of
hand. I hope you understand. Are you mental? It can happen to any one of us. This is analysis that you have to pay to get.
That's bollocks on so many levels, because, like, number one is Harry Maguire.
Oh god, I cannot believe that Harry Maguire has played 6 games this season and he's made the same mistake 5 times.
Number 2, the drop off from Harry Maguire to Tyrone Mings is not what Gary fucking Neville thinks it is.
And I remember we were saying, Harry Maguire.
She was kind of Gary Neville, for some reason, has disappeared up Gareth Southgate's arse.
I think we've got the best manager we could possibly have for an international team.
I just don't know why Gary Neville is persistent in trying to talk him into Franz Beckenbauer.
He's a fucking siren call on England to shipwreck. It can happen to
anyone of us. I think with Harry Maguire injured, I think the ability to go to a back four is lost.
He was by far the worst player on the pitch. He's really shit.
Imagine Harry Maguire was missing.
But it's absolutely unbelievable how whenever you play a ball to a fridge, you end up conceding the chance.
The most blocks, most interceptions, most headers, most tackles. For Man United, he had more blocks than Lindelof.
Harry Maguire.
He just cannot get the ball out of his feet. And I know he cost 80 million, so it must be difficult for people to make the link that he's actually shit, but just make that link.
Harry Maguire. The situation
got out of hand. 50% of Gareth Southgate's preferred team started the Champions League final 3 weeks ago. Who've collected more trophies in England than Harry Maguire has convictions in Greece.
Maguire.
You would pick a team with Maguire and Calvert-Lewin rather than Mings and Harry fucking Kane.
Apologies to the fans. There's no emotion behind it.
England's most important player is Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire.
That is just insane stuff. Grow up, Gary Neville.
Before we go any further, something that I noticed, and I tell you what, Chris and Jack noticed it on Twitter as well, and I'm happy that they pointed it out, and they asked a very simple question. Are we wearing the old Castori shirt?
Yeah, it certainly looked that. Maybe, Conan, maybe this is just how much sweat you get whenever you've never played 40 games in a season in your life. I don't know. Why because are you happy that they pointed it out? This isn't a good thing.
Again, we're all talking about it, not just for journalists. Everybody's talking about it. And like, because this is something, to be fair, I probably should have put it up in the Vimeo meter a long time ago, and I know it's something that's going to pain you that we didn't bring up the jerseys or any sort of fashion talk over the last few weeks, but the Castori shirts had been improved. It was clear that they were obviously wearing different jerseys.
Or was it just clear that they weren't running around as much and that's why our form wasn't as good?
Maybe, but when you see that tonight, it's night and day. It's completely different. But now I'm wondering, like, what's going on here? Like, has somebody decided, look, I'm not doing three washes in 1 week.
It looks like they were doing fucking three washes during the game, the fucking amount of moisture that was on those jerseys.
Bring out the old shirts, because I'm not doing them. I have to dry them as well, you know, if I wash them.
And then we all know they can't get fucking dried.
Let's do the Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award. I mean, does this even belong in this category? Does it belong in an entirely different category? It's definitely a WhatsApp win fine, anyway, what Morgan Rogers did, because I haven't seen the like of this in my life. He's put through. So not only, like, obviously he has a what the fuck moment when he passes the ball back and he gives it to an attacker who ends up getting a big chance and Emiliano Martinez comes to the rescue again. But that's happened in the space of 4 seconds. We're going three on goal. What fine would this be? Like the Morgan Rogers, I don't want the attack. Why don't you have a shot instead, award? I mean, it needs workshopped. But like, what on earth? What on earth was going on here? But it's definitely a what the fuck nomination. I know that.
David Moyes, I don't want the football award. It's such a stupid pass. And I don't mean because it was directly to Lille's best player. I mean because he's kicked the ball backwards without looking, thinking he's being clever, thinking he's doing the right thing, and not seeing it was 4 versus 4, yeah. Not wanting to score. Like there is nothing more infuriating than someone else doing the hard work, breaking the lines. That's the hardest thing to do in football. And then someone else completely undoing all that by mindlessly rolling the ball back. Obviously, it's much worse whenever you play it to Leeds' best player. But possession-based football isn't about keeping the ball. It's about keeping the ball so you can fucking score. So whenever you've maximised your chances by breaking that line in midfield, then try to score. I mean, if that pass had gone to Tielemans, I'd be nominated for the Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, just for anybody who isn't aware, like, I'm sure they are, but it's just before halftime and it was coming down the left. And they are, if you watch it through Watkins' eyes, it's so depressing because it comes to Rodgers. Like you say, they're in at 4v4 and Watkins is so excited. He's making the break from like the centre circle. There's two players ahead of him and he's like, okay, let's go. And then he sees the pass going back and he's like, what? You know, and he sort of looks, he's disappointed at that initially, but he turns around to see, what did Roger see that I didn't see? It's just no longer in Aston Villa's possession as Yuri Tielemans. It's like, oh no, what? I have to go back again. I was just coming out of there. I have to run back again. And Watkins is just hands out. Like, what have you just done? I had another goal here that you've denied me.
It's insane to see it from behind Emi Martinez's goal up the pitch, and you can just see Watkins, Ollie Watkins as well, the hardest working footballer in the world, just standing with his arms up, literally dumbfounded, literally stuck on the one spot, thinking, what has going on here? What has happened in my life? Why am I playing with this lad?
Was it any worse than the second nomination for the Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award? And it has to go to Douglas. And it has to go to Diego Carlos. And that pass along the byline. What was he thinking there? Straight to Jonathan David, I think it was.
Yeah, and I couldn't even really be annoyed at this because my initial thought was, Jesus Christ, he's undercooked that. And it just made me think about this time I was in college and I was standing in the kitchen having a cup of coffee and one of my housemates popped in and excitedly announced he was going to boil an egg for the first time. And I must have been hungover or the coffee hadn't kicked in yet because I didn't even go for him after he admitted as a 20-year-old human he had never boiled an egg before. Anyway, he was excited. So I let him at it. His ma had shown him how to do it at the weekend, Conan, and far be it from me to put poor scorn in that. He put some water in the pot, popped the egg in, and we were hanging around chatting. And 7 minutes later, he picked up the saucepan, poured out the water, and then cracked the egg, raw, uncooked, all over the counter. And I was thinking, Christ almighty, I can't believe I've delivered you for another 9 months, pal. Anyway, his missus is pregnant, so we'll see how fatherhood treats him. His child's either going to die of starvation or salmonella poisoning, it seems.
And that reminds you of the Diego Carlos pass?
Yeah, so undercooked.
Morgan Rodgers is the winner, though. Let's do the Vyman meter, and it's also wrapped up in the John Gregory, if I had a gun, I would have shot him, quote of the week. It's not going to Unai Emery for him saying that, you know, it's important to be good at set pieces, quote, but it's going to Ollie Watkins, because when Ollie Watkins is in this sort of form, he's so honest and he's so frank. Like Frank Ollie is what I'm Frank Watkins. That's doesn't have the same ring as Ollie. But I like when Frank Watkins comes out after games, and he said, but you know, when he went there, I wasn't going there to start the show, but Frank W went there, and he said a little bit disappointing to have conceded at the end. Like, we've had a lot of opportunities, and 2-1 is a bit disappointing. It should have been 3 or 4.
I think he's misremembering what happened during that game. I mean, we had some big chances, but Lille had equally as amount of big chances, I would say. And Emi Martinez is definitely Aston Villa's best player today. The amount of big, big saves that he was able to make during that game is not really fair, for one thing, but also it's not really fair for Ollie Watkins to be claiming that we should have been winning that game by 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah. Okay. Can I give you another Frank Watkins quote then to see if this one will sit better with you? He said, he believes he's going to score every game now. I try to make sure no one can question my mentality and my work rate, and then the goals will come. That's just great, isn't it?
That is great, yeah. We can't question his mentality or his work rate, but we can question his reading of the game that just unfolded.
Now, going... Look, it probably is going up in the Vyman meter. The Vyman meter. I don't like to make light of this, but I do feel like it is only John Duran that could have crashed his car this morning and still played the game this evening. If I told you this happened, guess who it was, you would have said, you would have guessed John Duran.
I'm not sure John Duran was driving that car. Like, you know, that could easily have just been the car crashing into John Duran, and that's the damage that was caused.
The picture of him standing around, only thing that was missing was Zaniolo. Like, let's be real, like, we would have had a field day if Zaniolo was just floating around in the background there somewhere as well.
Yeah. But yeah, clap yourself on, John. Learn how to drive your fucking car.
Emi Martinez is going up, you're right. Like, he was brilliant. The amount of saves he made were, and really good saves as well, and obviously important. Only thing I have to counter his going up so far on the Vyman meter, the Yasichi shot in injury time. Did he really know that was going wide?
Do you not think he should...
That looked like it was very close to going in. Like, a lot closer than he thought it was, or he knew it was, anyway.
Do you not think he should be going up further on the Vyman meter for having such a good understanding of his frame of the goal? I mean, I panicked. I thought, what the fuck are you doing? Go after that ball, pal. Are you letting that... Oh, he's letting it float wide. Perfect.
And if he didn't have so much credit in the bank, I'd be going after him, maybe. Like, you know, if that was Robin Olsen, even though he was the star Vyman meter performer the last time, but if that was him, where, like, you don't have a fucking clue where that ball was, you got away with one there.
Yeah, we probably would have done that, but, I mean, I still don't feel comfortable speaking ill of Robin Olsen after, especially during the Vyman meter. That was probably the biggest climb up the Vyman meter anybody has ever had in one sitting. Ridiculous.
Going down the coefficient, obviously. That's going to be a real shame. Like, and it's really annoying now. Like, it brings back, even on a night like this that we just want to celebrate, it brings back the annoyance that I have now from the Spurs game, from the Brentford match. You know, the goal difference swing that we've let get away from us. We're basically 2 games behind Spurs now because of the goal difference. Like, we're 2 results behind them if they go and win their game at hand, which they will.
If we had just gotten those 2 results against Manchester United when we should have, that's probably a bit more annoying than the Brentford game, to be honest.
Right, let's stop. This isn't going to lead anywhere positive. This... Going down, I've got Nicolò Zaniolo going down. He was one of those moods today, wasn't he? A bit crabby, but just coming on, arguing, pushing boys, just like, sort of distracted, forgetting that there's a game of football going on, roaring and shouting with the ref. Watkins had to intervene at one stage. We're 2-0 up at that stage. It was like, relax, man. Don't be going getting a stupid yellow card here. And then just, like, there was a corner and he was just not looking at the ball coming in because he was arguing with somebody at the near post.
I think even for the Yasichi shot as well, that was that the one where he just completely zoned out, where, like, there was a nice bit of play from Reel down the right wing and he got taken out of it and the ball came to the edge of the box and he was kind of standing there watching because he thought, I'm not going to get there before he has the shot. But then your man didn't have the shot and then he reacts and has to run back out to him. Yeah. And then he turns around and starts blaming somebody else. You were the closest man, fucking wake up.
Yeah, I've got John McGinn going up, just good to see him back in his pomp, good to see him scoring, good to see him whipping in one for an assist, and John McGinn getting majors again. Like, that's a good sign, especially considering we're going to need him. We're going to need him at the heart of midfield now for this next game. I've got Matt Cash going down, even though he didn't play. But we did publish a congratulations video to Mr. Unai Emery for his 1,000th game on our social media channels. This is the Aston Villa account, not the Villa podcast account. And the players were all there. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them were there. Leon Bailey, Watkins, Konza, all just cool characters, you know, saying cool messages.
Saying cool messages, right?
well done, Gaffer. You know, boss, congratulations. Pau Torres is another one. Comes in Mad Cash. Hi, mister. It's Matty here.
Right. I can see why you think that's so much different to well done, Gaffer. Like, I mean, if the bar for a cool message is well done, Gaffer. I was thinking, what has Matt Cash said? They've put himself down in the Feynman meter here.
The only person who introduced himself. Anybody else going up or down that you want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
Bailey had a very strange game, didn't he? He was nearly there. He nearly had a good game. Again, I'm just looking at Bailey, watching him now at the minute, and he's getting a lot more attention, isn't he? I mean, I think that's two or three games in a row where he's getting double marked, where they're sending somebody out to him, or a midfielder is being sacrificed to go out and look after Leon Bailey. And this will really show us whether or not Craig Butler was right about Leon Bailey, whether or not he is indeed one of the best players in the world, because they all have to do this. They all have to put up with having two men on them. Can Leon Bailey step up to it now? But sorry, now that I'm really, Bailey isn't going up on the vitamin meter. Definitely not. Watkins is back heel on the volley to Leon Bailey, and then Leon Bailey just hits a rudimentary shot pretty much straight at the goal. I wouldn't speak to Bailey for the rest of the week if I was Ollie Watkins after that.
Yeah, that was a disappointing one. It was lovely. Like, yeah, I think this is why I seen it a bit more through the Aston Villa eyes, because Lille had a lot of chances, Martinez had a lot of saves, but it just felt like we were cooking at some stages as well. Felt like we cut them open a bit more beautifully, I thought.
Yeah, but how many times did we get 3-1-on-1 with our goalkeeper? There's another Bailey one where he tried to curl it but didn't really get on it. I mean, that one I was annoyed to turn back on his weaker left foot, even though it opens up the angle. But I just thought there wasn't enough space. He didn't have enough time to move the ball, move his feet, get the shot away. It was almost like I didn't see Leon Bailey play before. Of course he had enough time to speed that man can move his feet. What else did we have? Like Watkins. Watkins was 1-on-1, the last ditch tackle coming flying in. Can't think of much more.
Well, there's not much more to talk about. We got the job done. We'll see how it goes next week. And we've got a massive match in between on Sunday at 4:30 away to Arsenal. And look, it's a big one. We're no point in going through a match preview right now. We know we're going there patched up. We know we're going there in not great form. We know we're going there needing a win now because the coefficient. We need to fight for this top fours place. And I think, I'm pretty sure, well, I know the podcast recording is going to be delayed. I think it's going to be late Sunday night. Does that sound all right to you?
Are you talking to me? This is the first time you're ever talking to me whenever you're talking about the podcast time. You're normally just talking to the listeners.
Keep an eye on your WhatsApp to see what comes through for you.
Cool. I will.
And tell listeners, keep an eye on the Villa Podcast social channels and just subscribe as well. You'll see the podcast dropping then when it does come out. But anyway, enjoy the rest of your weekend, the start of your weekend. And we'll chat to you on Sunday night / Monday, but I assume it'll be Sunday night. All the best.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.